Welcome to this Wednesday edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. Chuck, yesterday we kicked off our season of fasting and prayer, and as we have said often, that in any situation, there's a part that God has, and there's a part that we have. And we spent yesterday really talking about what's God's part in this, and what are we hoping that God will do that only God can do. And today, let's flip it a little bit, and let's talk about some of the things that we can do, our part, in facing this economic crisis.
Well, we're spiritual people who look to the Lord for our help, for our inspiration, for our wisdom, and I certainly believe this is a time to be looking to the Lord. But God gives us the ability to work. We're also physical people. We're here on this earth, and we're industrious. We have knowledge. He's given us skills. He's given us gifts, and He's also given us the Holy Spirit that gives us ideas. Mm-hmm. So, Dave, in the midst of turmoil, there's always opportunity, and I would encourage our listeners to pray to the Lord and ask Him how to have a good offensive strategy during this time, because the Lord can show you things that man may not know. He can reveal things to you. He can open up new opportunities if you just ask Him, Lord, what can I do? God can give people new ideas at any time. I was just talking to a friend on the phone recently who had been in construction for years and years and years, and construction's getting pretty tough where he's at. And he was asking the Lord what he should do, what direction he should go. And one day, a friend called him and said, say, would you come over and cook out for this party I'm having? And he said, sure, I love to cook. So he went over and he made fajitas for this whole party, and they paid him a nice fee to come and do it. He didn't want to get paid. And then somebody else at that party said, hey, I'm having an event as well. Next thing you know, he is full-blown in the catering business and just loving it. And doing extremely well. People love what he's able to do, and it's a gift that he didn't go to college for.
Sure.
He didn't realize he had it, but God showed it to him and is providing for him. So always pray to God for good offense, but then secondly, have a very strong defense. And today is going to be very helpful to our listeners as you and I talk about what are some strong defensive strategies during this economic turmoil.
Well, Chuck, I'm looking forward to that, and when we get back from the break, let's talk about how we can cut our food bill, though we can't get it completely out. We all need to eat. But how can we cut into that food bill a bit? If you have to step away from the program, you can always hear it online in its entirety at crown.org. While you're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries, we'll take a short break and we'll be right back.
Running a successful business in this very challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills, and a coach to help you navigate these uncharted waters. Business by the Book brings the brightest minds in history to bear on the most important issues facing your business today. Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring and firing, pay increases and promotions, management team selection, and much more. Authored by well-known financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book offers a biblical worldview to businesses of all types. Whether you're a startup or an established firm, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you each step of the way from God's Word. Business by the Book is available now at crown.org. That's crown.org. Log on, order your copy, and begin enjoying the satisfaction of running your business by the book today.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley, and we are talking about some practical ways that you can start beating that budget crunch. And, you know, Chuck, there are a lot of things we can do without, but one thing we can't do without is food. And so finding ways that we can cut our grocery bill is one that we can all use.
Well, no doubt about it, Dave. And I like to divide the budget into fixed expenses and then variable expenses. And certainly what you spend on groceries is a variable expense. And we did a program earlier this year about an article in the Wall Street Journal that said it's actually smarter right now to put money in food because it's going up faster than the interest that you can earn in the bank.
Sure.
And there's some truth to that. Listen to this, Dave. Milk has risen year over year, 2.2%. The cost of chicken, 4.6%. Eggs are up almost 7%. Coffee up 7%. Fruit is up 10%. Vegetables, 14%. Bread, 16%. And by the way, Dave, the variable cost, and you can go online to crown.org and find some very good percentage guides for their spending plan or their budget. But one of the key things to remember is that your budget for a grocery should never be more than 10 to 11% of your net spendable income.
Okay.
Net spendable is what you have left after your giving and your taxes.
Okay.
Here are some ways to save on that big ticket item. One is to stockpile, and that's just to buy it now and to have a reserve of food on hand. And I know that I've mentioned that before, that Ann and I are trying to put about a month's worth of food away and try to find the sales, be very intentional about it, and get the non-perishables, buy them in bulk, and to put it away now because it's going up faster than we can get a return on our money in a passive savings account. Are you and Cindy stockpiling food right now, Dave?
Well, we do, and we have always done that to some degree because we buy in bulk from a co-op. So we'll buy beans or rice or any dry goods that we can get in large quantities. Now, we have six kids, so we have to buy in large quantities anyway, but that just has got us in the pattern and habit of buying large amounts of items that will stay on the shelf for a long period of time.
And so what kind of stuff do you buy that you use regularly? Do you mean you're talking about buying beans, rice, wheat? What are you buying?
That's pretty much it. Any kind of dried bean, rice, obviously, several kinds of wheat. We do grind our own wheat, make our own bread. We also, in the summer, get fresh fruit, and Cindy will can many different kinds of fruit. We also freeze lots of items. We have a couple of freezers and made the investment in a freezer so that we could end up getting the produce from the summer and freeze them so that we could use those throughout the winter.
Well, Dave, that's all very practical, and even if you don't have a lot of space in your home,
sure,
you can buy these 5-gallon buckets, stack them up, and just have it on hand. That's one of the things we're doing, is just buying those big bulk items.
Yep. What are some other ways that we can cut on our grocery bill each month?
Well, one of the ways is to go online and find out some of the things that stores do to price their goods. And if you really study it, you can understand some of the cycles, some of the things that are seasonal items when they go up and when they come down, and basically just like you would do with clothing, buy things that are out of season. So maybe barbecue is real high during the summer, but you can find the price lower during the winter. Well, go ahead and stock up on those things that are not in season and really track, become a student of how you're spending money at the store. And it takes some time, but Ann is very, very good at that. She never wants me to rush in the store and just grab what I want. We now become very intentional about how we spend our dollars at the grocery store.
Well, another way, Chuck, is to go off of brand items. And there's some new research out that shows that many of the store brand items are really the exact same product as the brand name.
Well, Dave, that's absolutely true. I mean, things like frozen fruits and vegetables, they're pretty much the same, whether it's a generic brand or a big name brand. Many organics have to pass the same USDA standards as a big name brand, so you can save money there by buying a generic brand. Also, spices, and then anything like paper or plastic goods. Those are places where if you buy the generic brand, you can probably save money at the grocery store.
You know, Chuck, along with groceries, there are many, many people that are dependent on prescription drugs for their health. And again, there are some ways that you can cut costs and expenses on your prescription drugs.
Well, I hope this is not new to anyone, but a generic brand can save you up to 50%. And all you got to do is ask your doctor if it's okay to take the generic brand and then take your prescription to the pharmacy and ask that you want the generic brand in. And it's a good way to save money. Certainly no need to pay for a name brand when the FDA requires that all generic medications must certify that they have the same quantity of active ingredient with no significant difference in performance than the so-called name brands.
Yes. And there are several large retailers that have the $4 generic prescription drug program, and certainly you can go online and take a look to see if one of those retailers happens to be in your neighborhood.
Yeah, well, another way to save money, and it's really a variable, it's discretionary spending that we don't often think about, Dave, is in our utilities. Mm-hmm. Because we spend a lot of money keeping ourselves comfortable inside our homes. And I realize there's extreme temperatures around the U.S. and our audiences around the U.S., so they're thinking, oh, I can't turn off the air conditioner in Arizona, or I certainly can't turn off the heater up in the Northeast.
Right.
But the truth is you can change the temperature where you're not quite as comfortable as you maybe used to be. And just a little 5-degree variable one way or the other can save you quite a bit of money. You can turn down the temperature on your hot water heater. That's just water percolating all day long like mm-hmm. a coffee pot, and maybe your shower is just a little bit colder than it used to be. And in those months where you don't need the air to be conditioned, turn it off completely. Open the windows. You know, if you're faced with the choice between saving the house and having that $200 or $300 a month that you need, one way to do it is to cut way, way back on the consumption on your utility cost in order to keep that margin in your budget to make your house payment.
Well, another area that is discretionary, but it almost feels like it is not discretionary, is our internet, cable, and cell phone service.
Well, Dave, everybody thinks those are required, that you have a landline at home, that you have a mobile phone in your pocket, you got great high-speed internet hookup and cable TV. Anne and I don't have TV. We find that it just gives us time to read. It gives us time to do other things. It gives us time to spend with the kids. We don't sit around and watch TV, so we don't have cable. We still have internet because that's how we get our news. We don't subscribe to newspapers anymore. We just read it online, and we get value from that. But if you're squeezed, you can get rid of the internet cost as well, and you can get rid of the landline and go to a mobile-only plan. As long as you use it wisely, you can probably cut way, way back and even use nowadays, you can even use many of the mobile phones to connect to the internet and get all your news and everything that you need right in one spot.
Chuck, hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, let's continue with some more budget-cutting ideas. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries, and we'll be right back.
Having trouble keeping up with the latest job trends? Not sure where you fit into the marketplace of the 21st century? Well, let me introduce you to a revolutionary career assessment system based on the timeless truth of the Bible, Career Direct from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is designed to help you maximize your God-given talents by focusing on the four critical components in career selection: personality, interests, skills, and values. Most other career guidance tools only analyze a couple of those. Thanks to cutting-edge technology, this comprehensive assessment can be completed in about an hour. And since it's online, once you're done, Career Direct will give you a thorough but easy-to-read personalized report. If you'd like to join the over 120,000 people who have already benefited from using Career Direct, go to crown.org. Find out where God intends for you to fit into the workforce of the 21st century by using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System at crown.org.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley, and we're talking today about ways that you can cut your budget and save some extra money. And Chuck, one of the big expenses for most families is their automobile.
Well, we recommend that the cost for your automobile, and this includes the gasoline and the maintenance and upkeep for your car, is no more than 10-12% in your net spendable income. So, Dave, if you do the math on that, most people are driving way too much car. If you can, sell the car, downsize, drive a car that's paid for, and that makes it so much easier on the budget. You know, automobiles lose so much of their value. They're never a great investment in terms of pouring a lot of money into them. Now, I recommend that you buy one that you're going to drive a long time, keep it well maintained. And certainly you got to have one for transportation, or maybe you got to have more than that in your family. Just don't go overboard and get stuck with a large car payment, because that's where most people eat up a lot of their budget.
Well, Chuck, along with your car, at least in our state, you need to have automobile insurance. And that raises another question about insurance. At this time, when we're looking at cutting expenses, is it reason to not carry certain kinds of insurance? And if so, how do we know?
Well, I think that insurance is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful part of your financial plan to have life insurance, disability insurance, health insurance, homeowners insurance, car insurance. Dave, the list goes on and on and on. But what can happen is we can get way too much insurance and we can be overpaying for it. So it's a good area to look. If you can raise your deductibles, then you can lower the cost of that insurance. But you can only raise your deductible if you've saved the cash, you have the margin to cover it in the event that you have to file an insurance claim. But look at all your deductibles, and if it's possible to raise them in order to lower the overall cost of that insurance.
Well, Chuck, certainly in the insurance arena, medical insurance ranks probably near the top or at the very top for people's monthly expenses. Are there some ways that we can approach healthcare and the expenses that go with healthcare to cut some of those expenses each month?
Well, Dave, I think health insurance is almost vital in today's culture because health costs are so expensive, and it's just wise to have it and to hang on to it. Again, look for ways to save money on that cost. One of the things that I had to do in the past when I was self-employed, the cost was so high I just couldn't afford to keep it. So what we did is we went to what we called a catastrophe policy, where we had about a $5,000 deductible each for every member of the family, mm-hmm. which meant every time we went to the doctor, it was out of our pocket. But we had coverage in the event that anybody was hospitalized or we had a major medical emergency. And that's how we got through a time in our lives where we didn't have the money to have that full health insurance coverage that we wanted.
And for those that are in that kind of a situation, there is a product called a health savings account, which is like a bank account, and that allows you to put money aside into an interest-bearing account, and that money then is drawn out for those medical expenses, and there is a tax benefit for that as well. So it doesn't apply to everybody, but for those that are self-employed, they may want to look into their bank's offering of a health savings account.
Well, it's very good advice, Dave, and certainly no matter what the financial challenges that you may be faced with, it's very important to try to keep some level of health coverage at all times.
Well, it's also most important that as individuals, we're taking care of our own health, and that really then raises another question. Many of our listeners, and I know lots of my friends, have health club memberships, and they use that to work out and to stay healthy, but is that something that we need to just look at dialing that back as well?
Well, Dave, there's always alternative ways to stay in shape. You know, for one thing, I think just going out for a good, long, brisk walk helps everything. It helps you feel better. It helps your joints move better. Helps your attitude. It clears the mind. It's a time to commune with the Lord. And that doesn't cost anything. And it's really easy to find ways to stay in good shape and to do preventative maintenance without having to spend a lot of money.
Well, one of the benefits is, and as you and I both know, in any arena of discipline, one of the keys of the health club is that you've got some accountability. Either the people in the gym and you don't want to look fat, so you're going to keep working it out, or you've got a friend that you work out with. What are some ways that people can begin to start developing that kind of an accountability or networking without going to a health club?
Well, just with neighbors. You know, call a neighbor and ask them if they'd like to meet you a certain time every day or four times a week and walk with you. Maybe your spouse wants to do it. Maybe some of your children want to do it. I know we get out in the front yard and play soccer with our two young boys, and they absolutely love it when mom and dad are out there with them. It's been a great time for us. We usually get sore after that, but it's a good way for us just to stay active.
You know, Chuck, it's an interesting thing, but it is a biblical principle, too, that when you invest in your family and you give them a priority, so you're going to get healthy, but you're also building into their lives, you're building into the relational part of your family. There are so many benefits to just doing things maybe just a little differently. It takes a little more time, perhaps, but it has so many other benefits to the family as well.
Well, it was interesting because we have an 8-year-old, you know, and Luke is always coming up with something new. And we were out playing soccer in the front yard with the boys, and Ann was the goalie, and he made a score while Ann was the goalie. And, of course, he was just thrilled. And she said, "Hey, dude, good goal." And he turned around and he looked at her and he said, "Mom, I love it when you call me dude." And it just meant a lot to him to have us out there playing. And, of course, we were getting exercise. And it's great accountability, Dave, because now if there's an opportunity, those boys are both saying, "Mom, Dad, get out here. We want to play."
Sure. You know, Chuck, it is interesting that any time on one side of the ledger of our lives, if things are tough, there can be an equal and opposite side on the other side of the ledger, that it provides us the opportunity to really do things that in our heart of hearts we've wanted to do, but we've not had the push to get it done. And really, even in this economic time that we're going through, it could be a time that we're able to go back to our families in ways that we hadn't ever before.
Well, it's great training for them, Dave, because it teaches them the lessons they need to know for the future as well. So yes, there's always good that comes out of times like this, because God doesn't waste anything, and He works all things together for good.
You're listening to Money Life. We'll take a short break and be right back.
You know, the Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money package from Crown Financial Ministries. The ABCs of Money package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. It has three detachable compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C. Your kids will use one for giving, one for saving, and one for spending. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through an interesting study, simple Bible studies, and fun, hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Invest in the future of your children by teaching them God's way of managing money with the ABCs of Money package. It's available at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to this final segment of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Chuck, we've been talking about ways to cut our expenses and to save a little money during this time. And Chuck, there are statistics that we've quoted that talk about the amount of money that the American populace spends on entertainment, whether that's cable or movies or any kind of entertainment. And that is truly a discretionary cost.
Well, absolutely, Dave. And it's really an item that could be minimized a great deal in almost all of our lives. And there's two thoughts I had about it from the scripture. One is that the Lord said to learn to be content. To learn to be content. So find ways that you can be content without the high dosage of entertainment that it's required in the past, possibly, and say, you know, some of the simpler things in life now I can find contentment in and pleasure in. Don't have to spend money to get my entertainment. The second principle is that the Lord said, or Paul said, to watch out when you become lovers of pleasure. And the way I look at that is, what does give me pleasure? Or is it the things of this world or the things that God said should give me pleasure? And the way I try to measure the use of my time and the use of my days personally is, what would I want to be caught doing if the Lord happened to come back today? You know, I had a friend in a Bible study say that they take $25 a week and they gamble with it because that's their entertainment. They don't have a problem. It's just the way they like to entertain themselves. Well, I don't know what else to say other than, is that what you want to be doing, you know, when the Lord comes back? And what gives you pleasure out of that? Is it the upside of it? I can't imagine it's watching yourself lose $25 a week. Right. It must be the desire for more money that gives you pleasure from gambling. And so those are not the activities, I think, that are pleasing to the Lord. And we need to evaluate how we get our entertainment. Are we truly content with the simple things in life? And that's whether you have a lot of money or little. And you know, one other thing Anne has been practicing herself is what she calls the 30-day challenge. And if there's something she really feels like she needs, she carries a little card with her and she writes it down and she says, can I wait 30 days? And then you go back and you look at your card and you say, okay, if 30 days later, this is really something I need, it's something that I still have to have, then maybe I'm going to go ahead and purchase it. But she's been amazed at how that has slowed down the consumptive behavior that maybe once was just instant gratification. And it's a great little practice to be able to see if God may provide that need some other way, keep you from spending money. And it also teaches your children how to wait, because so often is we can say no to ourselves, but we can't say no to our children. And they're the ones that begin to drive up our budget. And what are we teaching them if we don't show them how to wait and to delay gratification?
Well, if you just joined us, today's program has been all about practical tips, and I'd encourage you to go to crown.org to hear this program in its entirety. Well, for Chuck Bentley and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, this is Dave Ball saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Money Life.